Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Player Profiler Faithful, it's your boys, and we're back. Trade Gods episode 12, I believe. I think it says 11 in the description, but I'm pretty sure it's the 1-2 episode, the old 12th episode. I've done every single one of these with my right hand man. He's back again for episode 12. My man Jason Alwine, what up, Jay?
Nothing too much, man. Ready to talk some trades.
Do some trade talking. We got a lot of trades on deck. We are going to be talking about running backs that are still in the playoffs and kind of breaking down some trades that have been involved around those guys. And then we each have our buy and sell candidate from players of the divisional round. So let's get to it, baby. All right. As I said, this episode is all gearing around players in the playoffs. Now we got someone in the chat, Mr. Matt Stouffer, saying Devontae Smith for Amon-Ra St. Brown. Would you do that? Would you rather have Amon-Ra or Devontae Smith in 10-team Dynasty?
Yeah, and he mentions full PPR, so I'll go with the Sun God there. I'll take that. I'll take all that volume my way in that format for sure.
Absolutely still sticking with the Sun God. Even if Jameson Williams takes some of those targets, he ain't taking as many as A.J. Brown takes away from Devontae Smith. And I do believe in that offense, so give me the Sun God. All right, why don't we just jump right on into the very first trade of the night. It is involving Saquon Barkley in this trade. Team A is acquiring Saquon Barkley and trading away Jaylen Waddle. What do you think here?
Yeah, I like it. You know, obviously Jaylen Waddle's got the appeal in that he's younger and hopefully has plenty of years left in him, but you know, you can't necessarily argue against that same thing for Saquon. So, I mean, I'm on the Saquon side here for sure.
This is a good trade. Okay. Yeah. This is absolutely a stud for stud. Mm-hmm. But I do love me some Waddle. You know, he's seventh this year in receiving mm-hmm. yards. He had a 2.81 yards per route run. That was fourth highest. Jaylen Waddle is pushing, I would say, that top 5 to 7 wide receiver range in Dynasty. Mm-hmm. I absolutely like this trade. It's definitely a pretty win-win trade overall. If you're running back needy, definitely can see why you would go Saquon Barkley. But I'm going to go with Jaylen Waddle here. But we'll talk about if it's fair. We'll give our most trade fair. You guys know what the deal is, WTF. But in this trade, one for one, is, you know, sometimes you look at a trade and you go, there's not a whole lot to break down. If you need a running back, Saquon Barkley is pretty dang good. And if you need the Penguin, Mr. Jaylen Waddle, like I said, he's got a lot of good indicators in that production profile. A lot of reasons why I would like to get him on my Dynasty teams. So definitely you could trade, but you're going to take Barkley. I'm taking Waddle, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's something maybe to look out for as the, you know, the Trade Gods Invitational kicks off. We'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the show. Stick around for that. So maybe, just maybe, that's a trade you may see if you play with the Trade Gods in that league. Let's move on right to the next trade on our Which Trade Is Fair segment. Team A is acquiring Travis Etienne, and they're giving away Derrick Henry and Deion Jackson. So this is a 2-for-1, technically, literally, figuratively, all of those leads. But I think when you boil it down, when you really look at it, you know what is what. This is a Travis Etienne for Derrick Henry trade. What do you think about it, and which of the two running backs would you rather have in Dynasty?
I mean, in Dynasty, I've got to say I'd rather have Travis Etienne, but man, it just hurts saying that. It hurts saying that, you know. Love me some King Henry. But, yeah, I mean, expecting every. I'm still very high on the ETN train. I'm not falling off that thing. So,
okay, that's fair enough. I would take ETN here for sure. I would think it's close. I wouldn't say it's a landslide ETN to Derrick Henry because Derrick Henry seems to be that guy who's continuously defining the odds in terms of playing at a super high level at, you know, at a running back's advanced age, not a human's advanced age, but for certainly for running back 29 is getting there. But I'm going to side with our dynasty rankings. We got ETN at 5 and Derrick Henry is a little bit down at 19, strictly an age thing. Now, let's say it this way. Does Deion Jackson sway it all for you? I know we kind of boiled it out and kind of discounted it here, but do you think that there's any role for Deion Jackson with a healthy Jonathan Taylor around?
No, no. And I mean, he kind of lost most of his role with Zach Moss. So, I mean, that was absolutely just the guy getting Derrick Henry was like, just give me something else, please. Just something.
Right. Yeah. Maybe he rosters Jonathan Taylor and he thought maybe I can just kind of get him easily, you know, just a little swift handcuff action. But either way, I'm taking ETN, even though Derrick Henry is a beast, 1,500 rushing yards at age 29. He played 16 games this year, sat out the Vegas one, which stinks in dynasty. In fantasy, but he had a very, very good season. And now we look back here since 2018, so the last five seasons of Derrick Henry, 1,000 yards, 1,500 yards, 2,000 rushing yards, 908 games, and then 1,500. No signs of slowing down, 13 total touchdowns, 88 evaded tackles, and 14 breakaway runs. All of those metrics are well inside the top 10. And for those who are getting a little nervous that Derrick Henry is, you know, his toes are up against the cliff, he had the third most created yards overall at the running back position. The man can make it happen. He was the most dominant running back with a 39.6% dominator rating. So if you are in win now, you could talk me into a Derrick Henry acquisition.
Definitely.
But just having said this, having the context we do have, give me the younger guy. Give me the ascending running back, someone who has looked like every bit of the workhorse back that we all like in fantasy. So give me ETN. But again, I think we're 2 for 2 on which trade is fair. So we're going to have our work cut out for us unless these next couple of trades are absolute stinkers.
Yep.
Let's move on to the third trade. Team A is acquiring Joe Mixon and trading away a 2024, very important to realize it's a 24 round one, not a 23 round one, and my man Tony G, Antonio Gibson. What are your first overall thoughts when you see this?
I don't really know how to – this one's tough to analyze. I think I'm on the Joe Gibson's. I'm on the
You're
Joe
Mixon's. You're just going to take both sides.
Yeah. I think I'm on the Mixon side just because I like the Bengals offense a ton. But correct me if I'm wrong, but Gibson could end up somewhere new next year. Maybe, or is it 2 years down the line?
Either way, he is under contract, but we hope that maybe there's a trade in the works. Yeah. They clearly have the guy that they want running the ball in Brian Robinson. I think a lot of indicators point to them bringing in a veteran quarterback. So let's say they bring in a guy like Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of need to really give Antonio Gibson the carries that he got to start the year when he was the bell cow back, obviously, because Brian Robinson was out. But even at the end, he really just was relegated to a pass-catching role on this team. Now, given that there is a 24 first attached to this, I think it does sway me to the Antonio Gibson side. Not necessarily that I'm not already hyping up the 24 class, nothing like that. It's just I like having that extra bullet in the old chamber when you're going through a season. If I'm a contender, obviously that 2024 first could get me a guy, theoretically, like Joe Gibson. Oh, Joe Gibson. So you got me doing it, man. You got me doing it. It's like it's contagious.
I'm sorry.
Do you want Joe Mixon? Do you want Tony Gibson? And we're like, put your hands together, ladies and gents. We want them both. But anyway, I can't do that.
You do.
But when I look at the pass-catching ability of Tony G, I can't help but speculate if he were to go to a team that passes the ball a lot. Let's just say pipe dream, he gets traded to Buffalo. You know, James Cook gets hurt. We don't want that. We both like James Cook. But let's say Cook gets hurt, Singletary signed elsewhere. They make a trade for a guy like Tony G. I'm so attached to that upside because despite the down season, like we all kind of considered a down year for him, still averaged 11.1 fantasy points. He's averaged 11 or more fantasy points each of his 3 years in the league. He had the he had a lot less rush attempts, but he had 46 receptions, 353 receiving yards. He had a 12% target share. That was 11th amongst running backs. And he had a 166 yards per route run. That was top 10. Guy's skilled in the passing game. He's very, very skilled there. And, yeah, I know Mixon's very good, but Mixon is going into that dreaded 27-year-old age. And maybe this was the year that that trend was a little was bucked a little bit. You know, we saw Dalvin play well. Alvin Kamara played well in pockets of the season. Obviously, we still saw Derrick Henry play at a very high level. So these older running backs, maybe that age is getting pushed back a little bit, but you're still seeing some decline in the game. You know, why he was running back 5 in 2021 on a points per game basis. He's running back 7 on a points per game basis this year. So still good, but there is a decline there. I think there's a little room for them to bring somebody in. I mean, we've seen them in the playoffs rely more so on Samaje Perine than I think anybody really would like to see. And if that trend continues, they build on that. All of a sudden, the touches come down for Mixon. If the touches go up for Gibson, and all of a sudden they start getting a little bit more level, then you know that could spell a whole lot of hurt for Mixon's fantasy managers. I do like this one caveat that I want to point out. The best comparable player on Tony G's player profiler page. Do you know who that is?
No. Enlighten me.
It's Joe Mixon. So maybe we weren't all that wrong. We were doing a little Joe Gibson action.
Yeah, it's hard not to think of the same player.
It's hard not to. They are kind of the same player on player profile. So that's why I think I am slightly leaning Tony G in the pick. But again, if you're contending and you're telling yourself that this is my final piece of the puzzle, Joe Mixon, you can make the argument. But I think I'm siding with the Tony G side. But here we are, three trades in. All of them are pretty fair. I don't see any real stinkers going on, but we have one more trade to break down. So if you just tuning in now, we are breaking down running backs involved in the playoffs. So we got one running back from each of the four matchups. Here is the last one. Can you guess who it is? It's Zeke Elliott. That's the last of the matchups. So in this trade, trade number 4 on tonight's WTF segment, Team A is acquiring Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. And they're trading away Kyler Murray, Najee Harris, and Jacoby Myers. This is a 14-team standard scoring 2 QB league. So what do you got here? What are your initial thoughts on this deal?
I would love to be Team B, I think. I mean, I would rather have Kyler over Dak, Najee over Zeke, Jacoby over nothing. So I think B by a landslide for me. I think you get Kyler Murray, who's a great foundation as a quarterback. I think Najee Harris is a bit undervalued. You know, I think that you could start to find some value there in acquiring him. You know, not expecting this huge top 5 ceiling, you know, but still he's a decent fantasy running back. And then Jacoby Myers, another player that's slept on. I like this trade for Team B a good bit.
You smell it? Yeah, I am getting a whiff of the first stinker of the night. I don't know what Team A was thinking here. I mean, clearly I do. They're a Cowboys fan. They are undoubtedly a stone cold, huge Cowboys fan. That's the only reason why you'd want these two in giveaway this much. I understand buying low on Dak Prescott. You know, he's still looking like he could be a top 10 quarterback option in 2023. But Zeke is clearly on his way out. He has become Jamal Williams super touchdown dependent. I don't really like what I'm seeing. And for all the hate that Najee Harris did receive in this season, I think he's more of a buy candidate than a sell to me. What do you think about Najee?
No, I mean, I think he's a decent buy. I mean, all of us were pretty excited about him coming into his rookie year. And I mean, he had a Lewis Frank injury that he was battling for the most part. If not the entire season, you know, it's hard to be 100% with that kind of injury. So, I mean, I would be looking to buy. I mean, I think it's not a huge discount. You're still looking at paying up, but I mean, I think it's going to be at least consistent, decent value.
Yeah. I mean, it's just tough to really get people call him old. He's going to be 25 next year. So it's not really old. He's just older for his class.
Yeah.
Scored 13.2 fantasy points this year. That was you know, running back 19, nothing to be super excited about, but he did rush for over 1,000 yards. He had over 40 receptions. That's a decrease of 33 from 2021. So if that number kind of regresses into the middle ground, we'll see a boost. And the guy was pretty dominant, you know, for having the Liz Frank injury, like you said, having Jalen Warren kind of come in and take enough away, in which you're like, ah, shit, he was doing, like, he was getting everything. Now he's not getting everything. And a 30.3% dominant rating. That was sixth highest amongst qualified running backs. So I like what I see there. Kyler Murray, you're going to have to wait on him. I don't see him playing at the early portion or at all in 2023. But I think even in Dynasty, even with the injury, I think we both would probably rather have Kyler in Dynasty, right?
Yeah, for sure.
He'll come back, and hopefully it'll be a revamped kind of roster around him if he doesn't come back next year. And then on top, Jacoby Myers is a free agent. And call it what you want, say what you will, he is probably the best free agent on the market. I know that really speaks volumes on the class, the free agent class, more than it does the player. But at the same time, this time last year, we were all wondering, where could Christian Kirk go? Christian Kirk got, you know, $1 billion. And a lot of people were like saying that was terrible. It was a horrible move by the Jaguars. Cut to this season, my man was really good for the Jaguars. He was really good for fantasy. He was definitely a wide receiver one in fantasy. He was someone you could rely on, and he finished as a top 20 option on a points per game basis. So I think if something like that were to happen with Jacoby, he gets overpaid and becomes, I don't know, CJ Stroud's slot guy in Carolina behind DJ Moore. Or, you know, maybe the Falcons do trade for Lamar and they want to revamp the offense, and they got the cap, they got the money, they want to bring in a slot guy to go with Pitts, to go with, you know, Drake London. All of a sudden his value shoots up, and more importantly, his perceived value shoots up. So if you're getting him as a throw-in, we both would rather have Najee over Zeke. We both still would rather have Kyler Murray over Dak. So if you're gonna get Jacoby as a throw-in, I mean, that is hitting home runs, undoubtedly. That's an absolute smash there for sure. So we've had four trades come through the mix. Let's do a quick recap. Team A got Saquon Barkley and traded away Jalen Waddle. Trade two, Team A got Travis Etienne and traded away Derrick Henry and Deion Jackson. Trade three involved Joe Gibson. Joe Mixon was in the deal. Team A got Joe Mixon and traded away Tony G, Antonio Gibson, and a 2024 first-round pick. And the last trade involved Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott and Kyler Murray, Najee Harris, and Jacoby Myers is what they traded away to acquire it. So having all these four trades at hand, which trade is fair? WTF, my brother.
There's two here that I'm deciding between to be maybe even three about the most fair. I think I like, especially when you bring up the comparable player point, I think I like this Joe Gibson trade. I think that's probably about the most fair. I think you're going to get good value at that draft pick, and hopefully Gibson does hit that ceiling. I think that's a fun trade.
Okay, so you have trade number three as the most fair. I'm going to go ahead and say that trade number one is my most fair, because I do believe it is a question of, what do you need? Do you need back? Do you need receiver? Are you flush in one and needy in the other? And those type of trades where it's kind of a win-win, both managers do come out excited about what they acquired, theoretically having a better team because of it. That is why I believe that was probably my most fair trade. So you got trade three. I got trade one. What are we going to do for a tiebreaker? We already know what we're going to do. We're going to go to the trade analyzer. And if you are new to the show, and if you're new to Player Profiler, the trade analyzer is a tool that can truly help you set yourself above your league mates who aren't using it. So all you got to do is, when you subscribe to all the modules on Player Profiler, you've gotten the all-in package. So you got the DFS Dominator, you got the data analysis tool, and you got the Dynasty Telex tool. You go to Trade Analyzer and you pop in some players. So we're talking Saquon Barkley. Oh, if I could only spell, that would be way better, way, way better. For Jalen Waddle, you pop that right into our Trade Analyzer. Hit Analyze and bada bing, bada boom. You're the best trader in the room. This trade here, very, very close, a difference of 28.87 lifetime value points. So that is very, very close. We have all the trades analyzed. Trade number two saw Team A, Travis Etienne, getting a lot of value, quite a bit of value. I think even more value than we gave credit for. You have Travis Etienne's side winning that deal with an 83.75 differential. Now, trade number three, your pick for the most fair trade, saw team two, the Tony Gibson side, winning the trade by 40 points, 40 lifetime achievement points. So that's pretty good, pretty fair, fair trade. But they agree, the analyzer did agree with us that the Tony G side was the best, probably the better side, I would say. And the fourth trade, the Dallas Cowboy fan trade, was the most lopsided trade. It had a difference of right around 100 lifetime value points. So it was quite a bit lopsided in favor of the three that was getting Najee, Murray, and Myers, three players that we absolutely love. So that's going to wrap up the WTF segment, which trade is fair. Hopefully that can help you get a barometer, kind of just mentally put together players and what kind of offers you can use, what kind of deals you can try to attack right now. But if you're looking for players to buy or sell, stick around because we got to buy and we each have a sell for you. But before we get into that, I need to talk to each and every one of you about Underdog Fantasy. Now, hopefully you're getting in the mitten. You were able to get in the mitten. You were able to buy to get in this tournament and select players in the playoffs and go head to head with six other people in the best ball format, which is just so great. Underdog Fantasy is fantastic at constructing best ball tournaments and best ball leagues. I love it. But if you weren't, and if you don't like that, you want to do pick'ems, I mean, there is no better place for pick'ems than Underdog Fantasy. You can go ahead and play the championship round this week. Pick your favorite over unders. And if you do, Jason, I think we got some for our listeners, right? Don't we? Do we got a little something?
Yeah, we've got a promo code. If you put in our code Underworld, when you sign up, you'll get your first deposit matched up to $100.
What?
So that means you put in 100. Yeah, seriously, dude. You put in 100 bucks, you'll have $200 to play with, doubling your money. Not saying you have to put all 100 in, but you know, that's what you can do. Whatever you put, 10, you get 20. Put in some money. They're going to match it.
Oh, baby. If you want to spice up the championship round, maybe your favorite team didn't make the final four, but you still want to feel like you're in the action, sign up for Underdog Fantasy and use that promo code Underworld and get a deposit match up to $100. Let's get right into the buys and the sells. It's customary here that Jason, you get to pick. Are we going to do buys or are we going to do some sales?
Let's start with the buys.
Okay. I will save everyone with the NSYNC songs. I've done that enough. No NSYNC bye-bye-bye today. So today we each supplied a buy candidate that is involved from the divisional round. So these past weekend, the eight teams, which buy, which sell. I'm saying buy Isaiah Pacheco. Jason's saying buying Rondell Moore, whom I'm just realizing is not part of the divisional round. You cheated, Jason, but that's A-okay because you're a trade god. You can do what you want, baby. So tell the people listening why they should buy Rondell Moore, even though he's not in the playoffs.
I just, you know, thought of the Bird Gang, I guess, when I was doing this, and the Cardinals, the Eagles, Falcons, all, you know, all the Seahawks,
all the Bird teams, they're the same. I thought it was weird when you hopped into the studio today when we were getting ready to record. All I could hear was "I believe I can fly." I was like, "Why is this kid talking?" Because you were all about the birds.
Yeah,
you were about
yeah.
those birds.
Just about the birds, man. Apparently, Rondell Moore is going to get traded to one of these teams.
Apparently Rondell Moore has been traded in the playoffs. So they turned the trade deadline off for this league. I love it. I love this.
My bad, man. My bad. But, you know, I was just thinking of eyes, I guess. And I just like Rondell Moore. I like him a lot. I like players that team scheme plays for. I think it's fun that he has more receiving yards than he does air yards. That's pretty unique and fun, pretty interesting. And then, you know, his profile. He's got a 4.37 40-yard dash. Both of his burst and agility scores are above the 90th percentile. Huge college dominator rating. Broke out early. Love that stuff. And his main problem's been injuries, you know, kind of like Debo Samuel early in his career. And when he's been healthy, he's been really, really good. He played 8 healthy games this year. In 6 of them, he had 8 or more targets. Mm-hmm. Only had 2 games, less than 10 points in PPR. And, I mean, his production didn't drop off when DeAndre Hopkins returned from suspension. So even if DeAndre Hopkins is traded, his value will go up. If he's not traded, his value will probably stay the same. And his fantasy production likely isn't changed either way. So, you know, I'm buying him. And yeah, there's probably a new coaching staff coming in. But I assume when you see a player with that kind of profile, you're probably using him a lot, at least similarly, if not more, depending on who comes in.
So two questions. One, do you believe that the lack of high-end quarterback play that they'll probably get in 2023 negatively affects his value now? But do you think you won't get any return on that value if there is a Colt McCoy, a David Blah, someone like that, man in the ship for the Cardinals?
I mean, the game he had the most targets this year was with Colt McCoy. He had 13 targets in the McCoy game.
Great point. That's a very good point. My other question was, does a guy of this stature, you know, a guy not really all that big, can he stay healthy?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
why you could buy. If he was dominating, if he looked every bit of the guy that we all kind of hoped he'd be coming in his rookie season, the guy we saw in college, he may not be such a buy now. So, okay, that makes sense that you kind of have to find some blemishes. You kind of have to find some things. Sometimes put lipstick on a pig to figure it out, but that's okay. So buy Rondell Moore. Okay, I'm buying Isaiah Pacheco. If you tune in for the first time, get used to your boy talking Isaiah Pacheco up. Big fan of Isaiah Pacheco. I like what I've seen from him this year. My man's got the size, okay, 5'10", 216. He's got the speed. He's got the 99th percentile, 40-time 98th percentile speed score. Oh, baby, you're getting me going. And you brought this up a couple weeks ago, and I just love this point. This is full-on bro science, and you know your boy likes some bro science. They let him wear 10. They let him take Tyreek Hill's number before he was even truly out of town. They're like, yeah, of course you can have it. Of course you can get Isaiah. Take it. You look cool as hell at the combine. You look cool as hell with those shades on. So go ahead and take it. And I think that means something. I don't know if they're going to be in the market necessarily for another running back. I think they bring back McKinnon. Why would McKinnon leave? You know, he's been producing on this team. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I believe, has 1 year left on his contract, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm not saying that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a world beater. He's kind of proven what he is. But I think it's good depth for them to have. So I don't think they're going to aggressively go after a running back. I've seen, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs or, you know, another running back taken in the first round. I don't see that happening. They've made that mistake before. And since Clyde's gone down, since week 12, he's produced double digits each week except one. And in that week, he had 8.7 fantasy points. He had 97 yards from scrimmage. He just didn't get over that hump, didn't get those 100 yards, didn't get those bonuses to get you the double digits. But he's been good on an offense in which, you know, he's showing that he doesn't need to necessarily get massive volume. He can be efficient. And in this offense, with this talent surrounded by him, I think that is the exact type of guy you want to buy. And I'm already starting to see, you know, your super, super early drafts that are happening. You know, he's falling all the way almost around 10. I've seen 8 and I've seen around 9. So that tells me that there's not enough value attached to this running back. And that's why he's a buy for me, because I think I can get a running back. I think I can get a running back 2, fringe running back 1. For a discount price. And that's why I'm doing it. And it's kind of crazy because we've mentioned this now a couple weeks going. You want to get in on these playoff players early because every game is a primetime game. That, you know, he made a great run last week. Everyone saw him break it to the outside and almost take it to the hizzy. So I think the fact that his, you know, value still is a little suppressed, even though he's balling out on national television, I think that allows teams to slide on in there and get him for a good price. So I'm absolutely looking to buy Isaiah Pacheco. So those are our buys. Now we're going to talk about sells, okay? And I'm going to spoil alert here. Jason played by the rules, okay? So we won't be able to make fun of Jay that he didn't play by the rules. He did play by the rules for our sells. He's selling George Kittle. Ooh, that's spicy. Selling Evan Engram. We're both saying, hey, tight end, there's so many of them. Just get rid of the good ones. Hey, get rid of them. Don't forget about it. So Jason's saying to sell George Kittle. I'm saying to sell Evan Engram. Jay, why are you selling Mr. Kittle?
Yeah, well, I'll start things off. If you don't follow us on Twitter, do so. We've got @TradeGodsFF, and we're running polls after these games. And so one of the polls I ran was, would you rather have George Kittle or Mark Andrews? And more people were on the George Kittle side. you know, following the hype
that
of the playoffs.
Bias.
Yep.
Recency and, bias.
Yep. And so I think I would rather have Mark Andrews. Our dynasty rankings agree. And, you know, I think you can capitalize on this hype right now. You can maybe get TJ Hawkinson plus, which I think would be very, very good. And like you said last week, which another little plug, last week's episode was fantastic. We did a bunch of buys and sells about just some of the players from the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that you weren't in on buying Deebo Samuel because there's basically too many mouths to feed and it's going to be hard to count on consistent production. I think the same thing could be said about George Kittle. Mm-hmm. And it's important to remember, while he's a great tight end, I love George Kittle. He's fantastic. He had 7 games this season under 8 points in full PPR. 7 games. So, I mean, I think that says enough right there. Capitalize on the hype. Go trade him. Go get another tight end, maybe. Get some picks. Whatever. But, you know.
Whatever. So. Yeah, I mean, the same. What I said about Deebo last week absolutely can be said for George Kittle. Mm-hmm. Great talent. Really good offense. We'll have more. I think he'll have better. He'll have better days than worse days, for sure. But, like you said, if you can tier up or slightly tier down and reload some assets, maybe not such a bad idea. I'm selling Evan Ingram with this caveat. You got to get a tight end back. Double caveat. Not just one caveat. You came for one caveat, you get two. Two caveats. Not one, but you get two. Two caveats.
Ooh, little deal.
Caveat A is I want a tight end back. Caveat B, second caveat, double caveat, is if he is your tight end three, you know, if you play Dynasty, you may have rostered this guy through some pretty thin years, so you may have pretty good tight end depth where he wasn't your main guy. And in that case, fine. But in most cases, I want a tight end back. But Ingram was good. He was really good this year. 10.4 points per game, top seven tight end on a points per game basis. But what really sticks out here is that absolute bonkos week 14 bonanza where he had 15 targets, caught 11 of them for 162 yards and 2 tutties. Used tight end one with a bullet that week and really set him up now to finish as a no doubt top 10 guy, even though the weeks leading up to that weren't so great. He had 2 games actually of the previous 4 under 2 points. So there is a pretty decent floor. I mean, pretty low floor, a bad floor to his game. But he's going to be a free agent. He may sign elsewhere. I think that would be really bad for him on an NFL level, and I also think it would be bad for fantasy managers if he signs elsewhere because it just brings in variables that we're not prepared for, things that could change. Whereas he stays, we know the quarterback, we know his position in the offense, we kind of understand where his target hierarchy is. Wait, do we though? Do we? Because there is someone coming back to the Jacksonville Jaguars next year.
There is. There's someone arriving.
Calvin Ridley should come in next year, you know, making sure he does not bet on any game in which he could get suspended for another season. So he should be back. So there will be some competition for targets. I am kind of fading that take a tad because Zay Jones was an absolute factor in this offense. So there was other pass catchers other than Kirk and Ingram. So it's not like there's just a, you know, consolidated targets from two and it has to be now gobbled up by three. There were more than two pass catchers. Then Marvin Jones took some red zone stuff. So I don't really buy into that so much, but I do buy in the fact that he's a free agent and I would like to sell while he's on a high note. And if you look at our dynasty rankings, they will be updated here soon, but on our last edition of him, he was tight end 15. I think he'll go up a few slots, but yeah. I think that also speaks to what we're looking to do here. So if I have, you know, an Evan Ingram and I can sell him for a Pat Freiermuth and maybe get a little something, I'm doing it. If I could sell him for even a Cole Kmet and get a little something, I think I'm doing it. I honestly do think this might be a bold take, but if the team builder in your league does not believe in Trey McBride, feels as if that they have a tight end hole because they don't have someone better than Trey McBride, I would trade Evan Ingram for Trey McBride plus because I think the plus in that scenario is juicy. I think it's really, really good. And I'm kind of high on Trey McBride going into 2023. I liked what I saw at the end of the year. And with no D-Hop, I mean, we're going to see so many vacated targets without, you know, maybe they bring somebody in or whatever. But we'll kind of cross that bridge when we get that information. But I like selling guys at a high point. I like taking guys who, you know, have been perennial mid to below mid type of players. And once they ascend above that, selling them, because if they come back closer to their, you know, league, their career production, all of a sudden you're kind of sitting there with your schmends on your hands. You can't really do anything. Can't trade them. Can't do anything. So that is why I'm selling Evan Engram. Anything you want to add on Evan Engram?
No, I like that you, you know, brought up the target competition. I'll give a bold prediction here. Okay. Early 2023 prediction. Not only will Calvin Ridley be returning, or not returning, but arriving to Duval County, so will four catch Travis Etienne. Travis Etienne will have one game with four catches next year. Finally. Finally, it'll happen.
Isn't that I kept my brother and I talk football all the time, and he was laying some bets, and he was thinking about getting into the prop bet game. I'm from Massachusetts, so we can't bet here. You gotta take the old shame drive to Rhode Island, the big state
of Rhode Island. That's how it is here in Georgia. You know, we've got to go through the same process. We've got to drive up to Tennessee to gamble. So I feel that. I understand.
You got to do it. And so he was talking about a player prop with ETN. And he was like, they got it at 2.5. And I was like, oh, that's a smash over. And then I looked at his player page on playerprofile.com. I was like, oh, boy. That was a perfectly set line, because he got over 3 that many times. So yeah, I think that's a good prediction going up there. So before we sign off, let's go ahead and answer some of the people's questions in the chat. JR says, start 9 Superflex. How high of a first in 2023 would you trade straight up for Kenny Pickett? I'm assuming it's Superflex.
Yeah. I mean, I guess a mid-first. Mid to late first. Probably what you need to give up.
Yeah, I'm a late first. I don't even think mid, because we don't know. There's a lot left to be played out, but I think I would take Young, Stroud, Levis, if he goes to a decent spot, and if Anthony Richardson gets round one draft capital, I think I'd rather have him.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is landing spot dependent when it comes to quarterbacks, for the most part, I think. You know, I want to see some weapons. I want to see that stuff. I do agree. I think I'd rather have a good landing spot with Levis. I think I'd like some CJ Stroud. So yeah, I mean, end of mid, you know, maybe starting at like the 7.
Yeah.
7 to 12.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like towards the end, that's where I'm at. All right, Kyle says, what would you be asking for Mike Williams? It's a 10-team 1QB. He's got no first, a couple of seconds, so he's really looking to kind of bolster up and maybe sell Mike Williams. What are you trying to get in return for Mr. Williams?
I mean, I would honestly probably just try to go get another player off of him, just because I don't really know if you're going to be able to get the draft capital you really want from him. I think people are a little hesitant to be buying Mike Williams, and I think I still love the ceiling of Mike Williams. He's got one of the best ceilings in the leagues if it happens. So he's almost a hold for me, unless you can get some sort of young player. You know, I mentioned Rondale Moore earlier, you know, get a Rondale Moore plus, something like that. But it's tough to sell Mike Williams.
I'm just trying to. I can't proclaim my I don't like having Mike Williams in fantasy. I think I've said that now every single episode, all 12 of the episodes of Trade Gods. I'm just have not been a fan. You know, I just can't help it. But if you can't get a pick, and I think Jason's right, I think trying to aim for a pick might be tough. Picks are super inflated right now. It's only going to get worse. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of tough process to go for one of those, I think, right now with a guy like Mike Williams. Here's a trade that I'm looking to do. I'm looking to see if, you know, maybe the team builder who has Elijah Moore. You know, you go to him and see if they have like a Cortland Sutton, a Rondale Moore, a Jacoby Myers, a DJ Shark. And I'm trying to get two of them. I'm going to try to see if I can kind of pounce on two lower value guys that we have below Mike Williams in our dynasty wide receiver rankings. And I'm trying to get both of them. I'm trying to get dose 1 and 2. So I'm trying to sell 1 for 2, even if it's a little bit lesser talent. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Matt in the chat said he was offered Saquon and Godwin for the 101. Holy cannoli. He already has JT and Brees. Receivers are Jamar, Cooper Kupp, Olave, Devontae Smith. Wow.
Yeah.
But
it's a good roster.
Are you selling the 101, Bijan Robinson, for Godwin and Saquon?
I think so. I think I would. I think Godwin's going to be a really good buy. He's still, what, like 26? He seems so much older than he is. And I know this is Dynasty, but, I mean, we're basically just hoping Bijan is Saquon Barkley. So to just get Saquon Barkley and then also Chris Godwin. I mean, I like it. I like it a lot. Obviously, you're getting a couple less years. But even then, I think Saquon's only like 26 too, right?
He's like 26. He just turned 26, matter of fact.
Yeah. So, I mean, I mean, we're hitting prime right now. So, I'm on the Saquon Godwin side.
I'm going to take the 101. And some of this is silly, but if I could look at my roster and see Jonathan Taylor, Breece Hall, and Bijan, I don't think I'm going to be sad a day of the year. Holy cannoli. That is a running back room. I mean, Saquon. Yeah. Add Saquon to that much. I mean, still. Yeah. But I do believe here that there is worry. This isn't really tangible, but there is worry that some players get the bag and kind of fall down a little bit, get a little less motivated, what have you. I don't know if I see that for Barkley, because I think if he goes back to the Giants, I think that team has a good thing going, so I don't think he kind of lays victim to that. But Godwin is a player that I love, but a situation I could hate overnight. And that's why I'm having such a trouble in terms of, should you buy Godwin because his value is lower than his production, or should you sell because if he loses Brady and he has Blaine Gabbert or Kyle Trask and the Buccaneers are in full-on tank for Caleb Williams mode in 2023, what happens to a guy like Chris Godwin, a guy who really needed the volume from Brady, who is his go-to guy this year? So I think I'm keeping the 101, but it is very, 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 very close. So Nate List said, I'm bird watching. He's like, okay, he's a Seahawks fan, so it makes sense that he's going to be doing a little bird watching. But that's also, that is going to wrap up all the questions from the chat. And that is going to wrap up not episode 11, but episode 12. Jason, tell all our fine listeners where they can find you on social, where they can find your content, all those goodies.
Yeah. At J underscore football wine on Twitter. The Roto Underworld Instagram is where I spend most of my time. I pop in the Discord when I can. And Trade Gods Twitter, as we mentioned earlier, at Trade Gods FF. And then posting videos of you. I'm not posting the videos of you. Aaron is posting the videos of you.
But
I'm,
shout out, Aaron.
Some posting some videos to the TikToks, and that's Player Profiler and Profiler underscore NFL on TikTok.
Absolutely. Make sure you go to playaprofile.com to use all the fantastic tools. Make sure you're subscribed to the All-In Package to get all of the goodies. Check out all of the articles. I had my latest fantasy supermarket hit the wire this week. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Matty Kiwum. Like Jason said, make sure you throw a follow to the Trade Gods FF on Twitter as well. And get in that damn Discord. What are you waiting for? All the members of Player Profiler are chatting it up about fantasy football 24/7. If you got a dynasty question, someone's there to help you. You got a best ball question, someone is there to help you. Whatever you need, you got it. Just join the Player Profiler Discord. And if you want to take on the Trade Gods, we've got two spots left. Hurry up. Only two spots left to the Trade Gods Invitational Dynasty Startup. We're looking to fill those spots ASAP. If you have some interest, find one of us on Twitter, find one of us in the Discord, leave us a comment here on YouTube, which you should be hitting that like button, and subscribe to the Player Profile YouTube channel. We got all this good stuff, and we're going to keep coming to you weekly. He's Jason. I'm Matty Kiwum. We're the Trade Gods. Later.